So when I see my computer is, Robbie, computer's on. So whilst they're hooking it up to the screen, if I can ask everybody to open their Bibles, and we're going to turn to Colossians 2. I'd like you to try and follow in your Bibles if you can, because today we're going to go through the Word, and God's really just laid this on my heart, and it's quite a serious message, but a liberating message. So we're going to go through Colossians 2, verse 1 to 10, and we're going to study it in depth, and we're going to move around a bit, but really just open your hearts and hear what the Spirit would want to say to you as we go through this. So the title of my sermon is, How Deep Are Your Roots? How deep are your roots? So in Colossians 2, we're going to read verses 1 through to 10, and then I'm going to expand on it a little bit. This is Paul writing to the church. He says, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you. But Paul is contending for the church and for those in Laodicea and for all who I have not yet met personally. So this is quite an amazing thing. Is Paul has met some of these people. He's planted a church, but he's also writing letters to those that he hasn't not yet met. He's writing to you and I as well. The Old Testament and the New Testament goes out to us as well. So Paul is in effect writing to those that he hasn't met and to us as well. My goal, he says, is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches. Okay, so we often pray for the full riches, and we hear the scripture that we've received every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And we need to be contending for that, and that is one of our goals, because this is what Paul was contending for, that we may have full riches of what? Of complete understanding. Complete understanding. In order that you may know the mystery of God, which was hidden for ages, which the prophets of old desired to look into. What is all this gospel about? What are we contending for? What are the full riches? That we may know the mystery of God. And what is it? Christ. Christ is the fullness of the message. Christ is the fullness of our gospel. This is what we contend for, and this is our goal. Then he goes on and says something very interesting. He says, I tell you this, so that no one may deceive you. And we're going to touch on that. By fine-sounding arguments. A lot of us have got hold of the gospel, but a lot of us have been deceived. And we've moved off of the gospel, and we've moved off of the word. For though I'm absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit. We connected in spirit, one gospel, one Christ, one God, one baptism, one spirit. He's with us in spirit. And delight to see how disciplined you are. There's one of the keys to stay rooted in Christ and not to wander off into myths is that we are disciplined. And how firm your faith in Christ is. And we often talk about faith, and we hear about faith being preached, but what is faith? Because we hear there's a few faiths, but we've only got one faith. It's Jesus Christ. So then, just as you received, not believed, not maybe heard of, but received. Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. A lot of us live our lives with Christ in our lives. That's not what the Word says. That's not what our faith is all about. Our faith is living our lives in Him. Okay, I'm going to expound on all these just now. Rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up. You can only be built up as high and as strong as you are rooted down in too. So if you are rooted down into Christ, you can be built up into Christ. But if you're not rooted into Christ, you cannot be built up in Him. You're rooted in something else, and you're actually being built up in that thing that you are rooted in. So today, one of the questions is, what are you rooted in? Who are you rooted in? And is your faith rooted in Christ? So rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith. And we're going to learn what this faith is, because I tell you what, there's a lot of faith gospels out there that aren't of Jesus Christ. As you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it, and we're going to go into this, listen to this, Paul once again, this is Paul preaching, contending for them. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition. We see a lot of that. I've seen it preached on the TV. And the elemental spiritual forces, which I'm going to touch on, of this world rather than on Christ. We are rooted on Christ. But as I'm going to go into, you're going to see that we are being persuaded and taught and carried off into human traditions that's been preached out there. And even the power and forces of the spiritual realm, we are running off into in the name of Jesus. Yet we are told to be rooted in the Word of Jesus Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. In Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head for every power and authority. Okay, so that's the scripture that we're going to be studying this morning and going into, bringing us back onto track, back into the Word, back to Jesus Christ. So I've got a picture here of a tree. So I live near Dan Pinot Park in Sandringham. Some of you know it as Jabula Park. It's an old established area. There's beautiful, beautiful, huge trees all over the area. And they're all over this park. They stand in the park. They stand in the area, but there's a huge clump of them that are in the park. And they stand tall and proud, and they're full of leaves, and they appear strong, and they look like they're going to be there forever. I often go down to the park, and I see them daily because I drive past it every day. I often sit under the trees. I sit in their shade. I sit under the magnificence of the tree. But you see, I've only ever seen these trees from the ground up. You only see the ground and you see the trees above it. I've never seen what's happening below the ground in these trees. You can't see because it's down, it's under the ground. It's in unseen places. And the other day I was shocked to see this tree had fallen over in the park. I saw this tree. I used to hit my golf ball towards this tree and go and find it. Sit under it. But I was shocked to see that it had fallen over. And it was dying. It had fallen over. It was about 2 days and it was already dying. Its roots had been pulled out of the ground. It was nothing like its former self. You can see all its leaves had fallen off. It looked weak. It looked withered. Grabbed my attention. As I went and looked at it, I looked at its roots, and it had no substantial roots. They were weak. They were small. It hadn't been rooted and grounded into the depth of the ground. And I was disappointed in this tree because it had neglected to take root in the ground that would have kept it from falling. It had neglected to take root. You'll see it later on. You'll see a close-up of these roots. The ground was only this deep under it. So it was like this tree had got complacent with its surroundings. When I went closer, I saw the water level was very high. So I came to realize that it didn't have to seek and find any depth to hold on to. It was seeking after the easy stuff. The water was high, so it didn't have to ground itself. It didn't have to send its roots down deep into the ground. It took the easy path. You see, it was in the right place, but it hadn't been diligent to deepen and widen its roots. And that brought me to think, how is the root system of my life? And what is my life rooted in? How deep and strong is it? And will it continue to hold me up in the tests to come? And that's what I'm asking you, and this is what we need to go present to the world, is how is our root system? Would it please the one who ultimately decides, that's God the Father, he's our gardener, is our root system bedded in him? So let's take a look inwardly at ourselves. Let's do a self. They are deep and secure, or maybe they need to be redirected. How's our roots doing? Do we need to redirect them? Have we neglected them? Do we need to give them a little bit more attention? Have we been distracted? Or even, have we maybe been deceived and caught up in another gospel other than that of Jesus Christ? A lot of times we take the easy route, the small route, and our roots stay on the surface. To walk with Christ, it's a sacrifice, and we need to plant roots that go deep down. There's sacrifice, there's suffering that's taken. What you find yourself mostly given to and where your thoughts mostly are will determine where your roots are getting the nourishment from and how well grounded you are. I'll say that again. What you find yourself mostly given to and where your thoughts mostly are will determine where your roots are getting their nourishment from and how well grounded you are. So let's look at what it means to be rooted. Let's go back to Colossians 2, and we're going to study verses 6 through to 10, and we can see what we learn from Scripture. So there's a Scripture, Colossians 2, verses 6. That's that root system from close up. That's that huge tree, and that's its roots. And they were thin. So Colossians 2, verse 6 says, so then just as you have received, and that's the key, once again I'm going to ask you, have you received Christ Jesus as Lord? Continue to live your lives in him. Have you reckoned yourself fully submitted to Christ? And this is a self-check, because as our check, we are going into this world and we're preaching the gospel. So our health depends on what the world is going to receive. The brightness of our light is how we're going to shine out in this world. Have you reckoned yourself fully submitted to Christ? And if you have, are you still committed today as you were on your first day or on your best day? And can you say, like Paul, he says in Romans 1, verse 1, Paul is a very good example to follow. He says, I, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Some versions say a bondservant. New King James says bondservant. Called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Can you say to yourself, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ and I've set myself apart for the gospel of Christ? You see, servant is the Greek word dolos, which means one who is subservient to and entirely at the disposal at the disposal of his master. That's you and I. Jesus is our master. Are you totally at the disposal of your master? He was a Roman. He was writing Romans. And under Roman law, a bondservant was considered the owner's personal property. So Jesus was, Paul was describing himself as Jesus' personal property, and to serve him. And he was set apart for the gospel. We have been consecrated and sanctified for Christ and to continue his work. He has done it and we continue it. So have you reckoned that in your life? Have you settled it in your heart? Are you a bondservant unto Christ? And have you been set apart for the gospel? 1 Peter 4, verse 1 to 3 says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. We don't preach this anymore. We preach all the other good stuff. But Paul encourages us to arm yourself to suffer. Jesus suffered, we're going to suffer for him. To do his work, to preach his gospel, to get out there and do what we were called to do. The rewards are great. That's why fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes on eternity. We're going to be rewarded, but we're going to suffer. Stop running away from our suffering. We run away to our comforts because we don't want to suffer for Jesus. Yet the words told us we will suffer for him. We will lay down our lives. We will pick up our cross daily. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Amen. We are done with sin. As a result, Peter goes on to say, Peter goes on to say, as a result, they do not live the rest of their lives for evil. That's us, human desires, but rather for the will of God. Now check yourself. Where are your roots? Are they delighting in the world? Are they drawing off the world, the comforts, what I can get out of it? Or for the will of God? It goes on to say, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. We've left that life. We now live the life in the gospel for Christ. Enough of spending time doing what the pagans do. All right, let's move on to the next verse. Colossians 2, verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Here we can see Paul is encouraging us to be rooted down and built up in Christ and strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And this is very interesting because we've been taught the scriptures. We know them. What we do is we just remind each other of it. We know the gospel. But what this world is doing and what false prophets are doing and what other churches are doing is they're giving us something very different to what we were taught. And it's confusing the church and it's confusing believers. Because we were taught the gospel, we know what it is, and we don't have to go off it. We are rooted in that. But there's other things that are attracting us. And overflowing with thankfulness. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 to 17, this is an amazing scripture. Write it down, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 to 17. Paul is encouraging Timothy what to do. Timothy is going out to preach the gospel, to be an example, to plant a church, to set in elders, and this is what Paul tells him about being rooted and built up in him and strengthening the faith. This is how Paul encourages Timothy to do this. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned. You see, we think we're continuing to learn. All we're doing is we're continuing to change our lives more and more unto Jesus, what we've already learned. Our learning is to let go of the old. We've learned the gospel. We know the gospel. We know what Jesus Christ has done for us. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Today, settle it. Am I convinced Jesus Christ died for me? I'm reconciled to the Father. I lay down my old life and I walk this new life, fully living for him. Are you convinced? Because you need to be convinced of it. And the power of the Holy Spirit does many other things, but one of the power of the Holy Spirit does is convince that of it, of us, and helps us to change our lives, to live a life that looks like Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that's the power of the Holy Spirit we need to start seeing, is how to love each other again. We're looking after all these other signs and wonders and miracles, which is great, but we've forgotten how to love each other and how to love Jesus. And that's what the power of the Holy Spirit is all about. Because you know, he goes on to say, because you know those from whom you learnt it. So Paul says, look at those who you're learning the gospel from. Look at their lives. Follow me as I followed Christ. Can you say to people, follow me as I follow Christ? Because that is our gospel. That is our message and that is our witness. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. This, the Word of God, fully given to this, rooted in this, drinking of this and eating of this. And I'm going to touch on it just now, is how much do we actually give ourselves to this Word? I think we listen to a whole lot of things and we are not rooted in this enough. Because what he's saying is that it's the Holy Scriptures, the fullness of Christ dwells in this book. This is all we need. I don't need another book. I don't need another teaching. I don't need TV. Those things enhance it. This is all I need. With the power of the Holy Spirit revealing Christ to me. He says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Scriptures make you wise unto salvation. And to Jesus Christ. The Scriptures. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. What more do we need? Scripture does it all for us. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what we've been equipped for, to go and do good works. To go into this world and serve as Jesus served. Jesus served us and he's told us to go serve others. The world has taught us to be served. And even I'm going to touch on is, I believe that the church is even teaching us to be served by the Holy Spirit. To have our flesh entertained and to run off after things that are not rooted in Christ. So the Word is our compass, our plumb line, our model, our benchmark. The Word is our opinion about anything. When we have opinions, make sure it's on the Word. Because if you don't know the Word, you're going to be confused and you're not going to have an opinion. You're going to have an opinion of the world and not of Jesus Christ. And then overflowing thankfulness. It says, in the beginning was the Word. I think Amanda read it this morning. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Nothing. Nothing that this world can give us, teach us, whatever, is worth anything. Because we've heard from Scripture that everything that was made by God, through God and for God. So what are we even venturing anywhere else for? The fullness of everything dwells within God. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Where do we find our light? Our light, our life in Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. Praise God, overflowing with thankfulness. Let's move on to Colossians 2 verse 8. This is the interesting part. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. I can tell you, if you're not grounded and rooted in the Word, if you're not studying the Word, if you haven't meditated on it, if you haven't been writing it down, if you're not applying it, you'll be carried off in philosophies because you don't know the Word and you're not rooted in the Word. Therefore, anyone can come to you and speak wonderful words and wonderful philosophy that you can get caught up in, which depends on human traditions We know what's happening out there with humanism and human rights, and people have a right to believe whatever they want to believe. That's not in the Word. That's not in the Bible. We believe what Jesus told us to believe, what God the Father has ordained. We're under His law and His governance, under His precepts. But the world is diluting it, and it's bringing it into our church. We need to stick to this Word, and if we're going to suffer for it, or so be it. We're too scared to suffer and preach the gospel and say, this is what the Word of God says. And the elemental spiritual forces, this is an interesting one. And the elemental spiritual forces, in other words, spiritual powers and spiritual principalities, there are churches that are going out there that are selling the Holy Spirit for self-gain, for entertainment, for feelings, and not what the Holy Spirit wants. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't glorify Himself at all. He glorifies Jesus Christ of this world rather than on Christ. So the other day, I was sitting in front of the TV, and I thought, what should I watch? I thought, you know what? I don't usually go to TBN, and I don't usually go to the faith channels, but let me just go see what's on there. And I'm not saying that there's all rubbish on there or all junk on there, but I usually like to go to my Word. I usually rather pick up my Bible and read the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me through truth. But I thought, let me switch on the TV. And I switched on, I think it was either TBN or one of them, and there was this American preacher on. It was a female, and she's apparently very well known, and she was preaching. And I couldn't believe what she was preaching. I was standing there and watching this, and it was all about signs and miracles and the power of the Holy Spirit and how we can get the Holy Spirit to satisfy our soul and how we can use it to go and do this. And it's all about self-glorification, self-power. She was talking about the soul, how our soul can be empowered by the Spirit and how the move of the Holy Spirit. She spoke about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, not Jesus, not redemption, not His blood, not what He's done for us, but what we can get of the Holy Spirit. And I just felt the discernment of God coming over me and saying, that is not of me. Then she tried to preach the gospel. And she preached something that I have not seen in the Word. She was preaching about Mary. She said Mary, before she conceived Jesus, had to be clean to conceive Jesus. So the Holy Spirit came on her and cleansed her and made her pure so that she can have Jesus. I don't know, I haven't seen it. And she went on about this, and then she went on something about all about the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that cleanses us. So, and what I'm saying is, I know the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, and He's got a place, but it's about Jesus. It's about the truth. It's about Him. And we can get carried away in all these things. I know churches, and I've been reading a book where churches that we know and we listen to their music, and I'm not going to say who they are, but they believe in grave sucking. So you go and you lie on a prophet or somebody that's had an anointing. You go and lie on their grave, and you can suck up their anointing. Now, so these are the things that are out there, and these are big churches who are preaching through our TVs, and there's books in Kum Books that by these people, and you might know some of them. I watched a clip that somebody showed me, is where they've got a barrel, and they call it a honey barrel, and they put their heads in here, and they all get drunk and soaked up with the Holy Spirit. And I don't see this in the Word. Soaking up somebody else's anointing, drinking of you know, the honey barrel. And one of the pastors said, no, but it's okay, because we've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We don't need it's not the Holy Bible. So we've got to be careful what myths and what is creeping into the church, and we need to be grounded back on the truth of God. And the only way to do that is through the Word. And I've got a friend who's got a Bible, and he's regarded as prophetic. But he would read the Word and then always read the blurb. And I said to him, stop reading the blurb. I said, read the Word and let the Holy Spirit reveal the truth to you. Don't let somebody else's conviction speak to you. And I read comments I enjoy commentaries, and there's good commentaries. So I read the word, but I'll first allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to me. I'll meditate on it, and then I'll go to the commentary and add to what the Holy Spirit has already shown to me. So be careful of where you are. So Galatians 1, verse 6 to 10. Paul says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. So if Paul says there's a different gospel, be careful that somebody's preaching the gospel that's not a different gospel. He says, which is really no gospel at all, because there is only one gospel and it's found in the word. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. I can say, if you've been confused of the word, what's truth, where I should be going, what's my call, what is God saying, if you are confused, maybe it's because you haven't been rooted in the word. Because if you are rooted in the word of God, you will not be confused. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you into all truth. He leads you into your calling and he shows you where you're going. So if you're confused and you're not clear and you're not sure, does the word say, I don't know this, and when you speak with people and they speak to you about the word and you can't convince them and convict them and take them to the word and tell them what the word says and tell them truth, you've been a little bit deceived and confused. And maybe you've been listening to other gospels other than the gospel. So they're confusing you and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. What Paul says. As we have already said, so now I say it again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, what we accepted as truth, Christ crucified, repenting, coming to him, living a life for him, let them be under God's curse. And then he goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 to 4, I hope you will put up with me a little bit of my foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealous, Paul says, and I'm not going to let you go wayward, and I'm not going to let what I've preached, other preachers come and mislead you. I promised you to one husband, to Christ. There's one husband, and he's Christ. So that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You see, Paul only preached Christ, devotion to Christ, the love for Christ, love for others, the word, the gospel, the truth. If someone, this is Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, that's interesting. So they preach Jesus. I thought if they say Jesus, it's Jesus. No, he's saying they preach another Jesus. They say Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the word. It's not the Bible Jesus that we receive. It's not the Jesus who died for us on the cross. So if they preach other Jesus, or if you receive, listen to this, a different spirit from the spirit you received, that's scary. Because I received the Holy Spirit, but Paul's saying be careful you don't receive another spirit. Or a different gospel from the one you accepted. He says you put up with it so easily. So we've got to be careful. Paul is warning them that these other gospels come along. People come preaching another Jesus. They even come giving you another spirit. And we receive it so easily. Be grounded and rooted in the word of God. In the Bible. So I'm asking, where are you giving ear to? Where are you getting your gospel from? Where are you getting your faith from? Is it TV? Is it books? Is it YouTube? Is it Google? Is it music? I enjoy morning readings, but morning readings don't sustain you and they don't ground you. They're just an add-on, they enhance. It's a morning reading. The morning reading should be the word of God. It should be doctrine. It should be truth. It should be coming out of your Bible. I get lots of morning readings. I don't read them all. If I've been in the Word and I've read the Word, then I might read a morning reading which enhances, which maybe expands a little bit, which helps me understand a few things. But some of us are reading more books, watching more TV, more in other readings than the Word of God. So what is your percentage? You know, is it 20% of this and 80% of everything else? I can say you may be in trouble of running off on the wrong gospel. Because not everyone is preaching this, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should be 8% in this and maybe 20% watch a video, 20% read a book by someone that maybe somebody has recommended to you that you know is living a life after Jesus Christ. 80%, maybe 20%. But have a look, how's your roots? What's your percentage of word compared to everything else? So I'm going to close with the last Colossians 2, verse 1 to 10. Let's close with some encouragement. Because the gospel is good, and we've got the truth, and God has given it to us, and we've received it. But guard it with everything you have. Protect it, because the enemy will want to come and kill, steal, and destroy what you have. And he will deceive you. And the word says many false prophets have gone out from amongst us, not outside. They subtly deceive us. They've come from amongst the church. They're in the church, but they're preaching another gospel. They're preaching another Jesus, and they're giving you different spirits to the Holy Spirit. Watch out for that. Colossians 2, verse 9 to 10. For in Christ, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, does this not just make you fall in love with Jesus? Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the fullness of the deity. He's the fullness of the deity. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. We don't need to go seek off any other God. The fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell in Jesus. We seek in all these other gods, all these other things, all these other pleasures, all these other sensations, sensationalism, all these things that the church is offering. The fullness is in Jesus Christ. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Stop looking for it anywhere else. It's all in Christ. Fall in love with him, pray to him, read about him, do his work, follow him, be covered by him, imitate him, grow into him, be rooted in him, because he's the fullness of everything. Ephesians 4, verses 14 to 15 says, then you will no longer be infants. So this is the key. If you're rooted in him, you will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and the deceitful scheming. Instead, we will be speaking the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And I'm going to close with Psalms 119, verse 97 to 104. It says, this is David, who loved the word, who stuck to the word, got persecuted for the word, stood up for the word of Christ. He said, oh, how I love your law. You see, it's not just enough knowing the word. We need to meditate on it. We need to love it. We need to desire to become it. When we read this, we must say, whatever you've written in here, Jesus, I love it. I desire it. I love your ways. I love your laws. I love your precepts. I love everything about you. And I'm going to give up everything to be just like this. Don't just read it. Love it. Fall in love with his laws and his precepts. As David says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I may obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. Do you know that the word says, you do not need a teacher, that the Holy Spirit teaches you the word? He shows you, he guides you into truth. We teach from here, we enhance, we open, we encourage, but it's the Holy Spirit that teaches you and convicts you. He says in 102, I have not departed from yours, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are rooted in you. Father, we take everything we are, every root, everything that we feel, everything we know, everything we understand, and we plant it in you right now. We just soak ourselves in your word, in your truths. We are encouraged by your precepts, by your laws, by your commands. We give ourselves again to you. Lord, may we come back to our first love. We sang it, let us come back to our first love. Lord, let us have discernment like never before. May we be able to discern your truth. May we be able to discern false prophets, a false gospel, a false Jesus being preached, a false spirit being put onto us. May we have discernment against that. May we know you. May we know your word. May we know your Holy Spirit. May we know that we are full in you, that we are equipped in you, that you are equipping us for every good work, and everything we need is found in you and in your word. May we delight in it. Father, we just give ourselves to you again. We follow after you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you want to do something?
I mean, if